Well, good afternoon, everyone. We greet you in the precious name of Jesus Christ this afternoon. There's a work that must be done. There's a victory to be won. Amen. We're not there yet, but we're on the way. Amen? We're on the way. When Jesus was approaching His death there, and He was with His disciples there, and Jesus said, I'm going to leave you now. In John 14, talked about, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Then Peter said, well, how do we know, Lord? How do we know where you're going? How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And I want to lift that up this afternoon. Jesus is the way, folks. He came to show us the way. And He did that by His example. He did that. He came to do His Father's will. And He came to show us the way. He didn't have His own agenda. But He came to really do His Father's will by serving His fellow men, by loving and showing us the way. And in doing so, Jesus presented to us the truth. I am the truth, Jesus said. All truth is in God and in Jesus Christ. There is no truth beside the truth in Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life to live. Our example, He showed us how to live. And we want to follow in that way, in that journey on the way. Just like you had to find your way here physically to this place, this leadership seminar from where you lived. You had to follow the road signs along the way. It is a way. It's a journey. And we need to be careful how we walk on this way. This journey needs to be full of truth. And then that, in the end, affects our lives and how we live and how we respond and how we relate to the pressures around us. You may be wondering what we'll be speaking about here today. Your program just says music. That's a broad subject. But really what we want to be discussing this afternoon is principles of godly music. Discerning what is good music, what is bad music. And we want to take a look at that this afternoon. And it's not my desire at all to lift up my ideas. But it is my desire to lift up the mind and heart of God in the area of music. Like I said, it's not my desire at all. We don't want man's idea. I know it's pretty hard for us to stay out of that because we don't have specific scriptures saying this type of music is right, this type of music is wrong. But we want to lay our lives out before the Lord. And allow Him to speak to us. In fact, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to You in the precious name of Jesus, Father. I just pray that You would anoint my lips, Father, as I speak. It is my deepest desire, Lord, to speak Your heart, Your will in this session, Lord. And I just pray that You would anoint my lips, Father, that everything I say would be under Your control by Your Spirit. Father, if anything I say is not contrary to Your word, Lord, I just pray that it would fall from the ears of the hearers of these dear men. Lord, we want Your heart in this issue of music. Help us, Father. Give us wisdom as we share and as we lay out our lives before You again. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I realize, like I mentioned before, that this area of music is a very sensitive issue. If I would ask you your type of music or what music is right, we may get many, many varied answers here in this room because of our backgrounds and where we came from and so forth, what we grew up with and what we're familiar with in our churches. But realize that it's sensitive, and we just want to, I just want to ask each of you if we could all lay our music what we listen to, our preferences, the music that we enjoy, to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, is my music that I listen to pleasing to you? So can we do that this afternoon? I hope we can all come to that place that is my music pleasing to you, Father? And then willing to make any adjustments in my life, in my music habits, in my listening and so forth, what I enjoy, what I feed on, and make that in light of the Word of God. And we need to be very honest before God in this area, I believe. So let's analyze our music in the light of God's Word, in the light of God, of who God is. More than ever today, I believe we need to know what we believe in the area of music. There is mass confusion in many churches today in the area of music and what is right and what is wrong. Churches are dividing and splitting and fussing and fuming over the type of music that should or should not be engaged in their services. So it is a very needy subject that I think we need to look at today. I believe there's a lot of so-called gray areas. There is areas of deception that are creeping into the churches, the evangelical churches. And it is my desire, by the grace of God, to clarify some of these areas and to lift them out and to look at them. And we together can decide what is God's will in these areas. We want to look at what is godly music? What constitutes godly music? How can I discern the difference between God's music and the music of the world or Satan's music? We want to look at some principles that will help you and guide you in these areas. Like I said, the music styles have changed drastically in the churches in the last, I believe, 25, 30 years. The introduction of the Christian contemporary music is changing people, changing the way people worship. And like I said, we need to know where we stand in this area. We want to just look at the verse in Ephesians 5:10. I'll just recite it. We won't bother turning to it. But Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, says, we need to prove what is acceptable unto God. So we want to do that today. We want to prove what is acceptable unto God. We don't want to just follow the crowd, follow the majority. But we want to prove, analyze, evaluate music in the light of God's Word. Much of the music today, needless to say, I believe it's a watered-down music. It's watered down by the type, the lyrics, and so on in the churches today. And I believe there's a battle going on, a spiritual battle. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And God has designed music. He gave us the gift of music. And we're going to look at that a little later. But just briefly, God gave us that powerful gift to edify and to encourage and bless and worship. Satan knows that. He knows it's powerful. He knows the value of godly music. Satan knows that. And he is using trickery. He's using deception, I believe, to deceive people, to confuse people, to make people think untruth and lies. And he does it through music. I really believe that. And just in case I am turning you off, I would just beg of you to just hear me out through this whole session before you come to any conclusion, if I could ask you to do that. And when I make statements about Christian contemporary groups, I want to be careful. I don't label everyone in the same class. I don't know. You know, I want to be careful. I don't want to be bashing, but I want to lift up the truth. And so there's a fine line there. It's not my desire to be bashing people, bashing different, but it's my desire to lift up the truth. And then we together decide, this is what we want. This is God's way, and I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to pay the price for what I'll pay the price, the cost, whatever that is, to obey God in this area of music. Principles of godly music. Already said there's two forces at work. We all know that. Two forces at work in this world. The forces of God, the forces of Satan. And they're battling. They are warring against each other in the churches for this thing of music, I believe. So, and we are the battleground, folks. We are, and it's fought right here in our minds, in our lives. So we need the grace of God. We need the wisdom of God to be able to discern these areas. I like to think of God as the creator of music. In 1 John 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word was with God. It talks about everything that was created by God, and everything that was created, there was nothing created that wasn't created by God. Okay? I believe that includes music. I think we can say God is the God of music. God is the originator of music. It was not an afterthought. It was not an afterthought that God created music. He created it for a specific purpose. And we want to look at some of those purposes. Why did God create music? And I want this to be informal. Why did God create music? Yes. To glorify Himself. Yes, I believe that's the very good answer. To bring glory to Himself. Now, how does He bring glory to Himself? By creating music. Yes.
I think He creates a channel for you to express your praise to God in ways that cannot be heard by.
Amen. It's a channel by which He gives us that we can praise and worship Him. And that brings glory to Him. It's a means of teaching and admonishing one another. We'll look at that later. I already mentioned that music is very powerful. I want to give you several reasons why we believe music is powerful. Are we convinced that music is powerful?
Yes.
Amen. It has the power to change your life. It has the power to change your beliefs, your attitudes, your character, and finally your destination. It changed our culture. Amen. In the 60s when the Beatles were around, and the rock and roll movement has drastically changed our culture. It's changed the values of our culture so much that it just totally shifted things, and Satan used that. Music is very powerful. It's powerful because, okay, let me say this, you and I are created in the image of God. And I believe God is a creator of music. God enjoys music. He loves music. He surrounds Himself with music. There's singing in heaven. When I say music, let me be clear. I say music in the clearest, purest, holiest sense of the word. Okay. So God is a God of music. He surrounds Himself. And you and I are made in the image of God. I think that's one way we are like God. God enjoys music, and a God has put into man the love for music, the love for singing. I believe every little baby, girl or boy that's born in a home doesn't have to be taught to learn to like music. It's a natural thing. So that's why we are drawn to this, and that's why it's so powerful. Because we are naturally drawn to it. It's beautiful. It's something that we are just gravitate to. We're naturally drawn to it. Several reasons, more reasons why God created music. I already mentioned to teach. I believe that's one reason why God created music, is to teach truth, to teach doctrine. Let me give you examples. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Now, if you would have never heard anything about God, that would tell you a lot about God right there. He's a mighty fortress. And I could go on and recite more of that. marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Talking about the grace of God. Grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. We are teaching. We're teaching doctrine when we sing those songs. And that's a beautiful way to teach through song. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Talked about our fallen state and how He came and died for our sins and suffered and bled. And yeah, we're teaching doctrine. Another reason is to admonish one another. And I could be quoting scriptures. In Colossians 3, 15 and 17, it talks about, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Word of God needs to be a very part of our lives. And as we meditate on the Word of God, as we read it, and as we allow it to control our lives and to saturate our minds, it's powerful to teach and admonish. Admonish. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. That song is packed full of admonition for the Christian. When we gather together on a Sunday morning, whenever we sing that song, we are admonishing one another in the ways of God, how to live a holy life. Already mentioned, God created music to worship, to cause or inspire others to worship also. We do that on a Sunday morning. Oh, come, let us worship before our great Lord. Come, kneel down before Him in reverence and fear, in thanksgiving, praise, and in hearing His Word. Oh, come. What did it say? Let us worship. The Master is here. We are encouraging each other to worship the Lord, and we do worship the Lord. Eternal Father, when to Thee, beyond all worlds, by faith I soar, we sing. Before Thy boundless majesty, I stand in silence and adore. Awesome song. It's one of my favorite. One of my favorite songs. It always thrills me when we sing that. But Savior, You're by my side. I hear Your voice, and we have this fellowship with each other. By faith I see. Thou art my friend, my daily God. God over all this vast universe, yet God with me. We are worshiping. We sing to move the hand of God. Yes, we can move the hand of God in song, in prayer. We are asking our Heavenly Father, we are asking God to move and do something. Nearer, still nearer, close to my heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious Thou art. Fold me, oh fold me, close to Thy breast. We're asking God to do something. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. And so forth. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. We're asking God to do something. We can move the hand of God in singing. That is beautiful. That's God's music. These are principles of godly music. We sing to testify. We testify of the goodness and the grace of God in our lives. How He delivered us from sin. He has put a song in our heart. He sets our feet upon a rock. He establishes our going, and we sing about that. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, we go on, and we testify of the saving power of God. And Can It Be would be another one. All my life long, I panted for a drink from some cool spring. We sing to testify. We sing to unite us together. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Many facets of singing. Singing is a tremendously powerful way to communicate truth, thoughts, and ideas. We are naturally drawn to it. And it's also interesting to note that truth, that poetry, is easier remembered when it's put to a tune than when you just say it without a tune. The advertisers know that. They always put the little tune to their advertisements, their little jingles. So that's a beautiful way, fathers, that we can teach our children truth. And they pick it up and they just remember it and can memorize it so quickly because we put it to a tune. That's God's design. That's beautiful. Next thing I'd like to note is that music is an expression of man. Just as my clothing are an expression of who I am, if I were up here with a cowboy hat on and Western jeans and so forth, I would look like a cowboy. It would express something about me, right? If I had the garb of a policeman, I'm expressing something. So we have many expressions in our lives, and music is an expression of who we are. I don't care, Christian or non-Christian. Music is an expression. It's like a window that we can peep into somebody's life and see what is inside there. It's like an index to a book or table of contents. We can see what is inside a person by the music they listen to. So it's this expression that comes out of them. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's inside is going to come out. If it's good, if it's godly, godly things are going to come out of our lives. If it's wicked and evil, evil things are going to come out. So it's an expression of what's inside. I believe we all agree to that. So it's an expression of what is inside us. And it's also an expression of what is very important to us. We sing, mankind sings about things that are important to them. So to the Christian, God is important. Christ, what He has done for us is important. We sing about those things. The world sings about things that are important to them. So it's an index into their hearts. So what kind of music comes from the Christian? Godly music. What music comes from the drug and sex culture? That's exactly right. Rock music. Yep, that's what comes out. It's so clear. Excuse me? Rap music. Amen. Is that the music like they kind of chant and along and it's really not a tune? Is that what that is? Yeah, yeah. Syncopated, talking with the beat, yep. I heard it. I can't describe it, but it's, yeah. One thing I do know, it's not God's music. Amen? Amen. It's not God's music. We know that. I think I can safely say that I say, show me your music, and I'll tell you what type of person you are. Is that true? Is that a fair statement? I believe it is, brethren. That is a fair statement to say, show me your music, and I'll tell you what type of person you are. Fairly close. I think that is true. Because we identify with that. And I personally, or you wouldn't, listen to music that violates, that would not be within your perimeter of what is right and wrong. It shouldn't be anyway. Yeah, we don't sing, I don't listen to music that don't have the same values that I hold. So therefore, the music that I listen to has the same values that I have. You know what I'm saying? So it's equal. What's here is over here. In the music, in my heart, same thing. Can't be different. It's got to be the same. It is the same because it's an expression. Every expression Listen, every expression will come to judgment. Is that right? Amen. What we say, the words that I speak are an expression. That will come into judgment. God, that all goes past God. He all keeps a record of what I say. That will come. Every expression of man will come to judgment. Yes, God judges. That is right. Yes, that's right. No, that is wrong. That is out of character of who I am. That is not part of me. All that passes through God's inspection. Let me open up. Are there any questions as we go along here? I want you to feel free to raise your hand and ask any questions as we go along here. And we'll have a time at the end also for questions. If you have a question, you want to jot it down, I will try and answer them. I do not claim to be an expert in this area. However, I do love the Lord. I do love music. And I will try my best. And if I can't, if I don't know the answer, I'll try and get the answer. There was a hand back here.
I have a friend and my cousin who listens to Christian rap, Christian rap. And it's kind of this commonly held idea in most Christian circles that music style is beautiful and words that are placed with that is what makes it more. Can you address that, please?
Can we hold that? That is on my... Yeah, that's very good. Thank you. We'll just hold that question. Any other question? Yes?
How would you deal with classical music?
Classical music? Can we hold that to the last? To the end? I'll give about 10, 20 minutes at the end for questions. Okay. Maybe just relative to what we were talking about now. Yes?
What do you mean by music? Is it only hit singing, or is it where the music of hit?
I would say maybe both. Both. Yeah. No, I do not. I do not, and I don't plan to make a list. That is between you and the Lord. But I know one thing, it needs to be in line with the character of God. And how do we determine that? Well, by our own conscience, by the Word of God, and also by our brothers and sisters within the church. We kind of develop this conscience of what is right. I don't know. Yes.
It's a lot to do with perspective, too, but I've seen a quote recently from a man that said that modern Christian music will be the death of the church, it will destroy the church, it will take it into areas that it never intended or wanted to be. And he's talking about hymns. This is before the hymns that we know of as classical Christian music were becoming popular. He was talking about more the Gregorian chants, more the traditional church music that had nothing to do with what we consider cherished.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it a matter of perspective?
Somewhat, yes. I'm not a theologian, so I'm not going to get into those areas. Yes, one more question. Yes.
Even in the world, when you've got ungodly music, people still roll down the dumps or whatever, they turn on their music, right?
Right. This is their soul, okay? Their soul. Their spirit is dead.
And us as Christians, when we have a low time, we find that if we sing, it lifts our soul, our spirit.
That's our spirit and soul.
Have you studied that? Right, that's right. That's our spirit. Have you studied into that as to why that is? What causes that?
Okay, we'll get into that also. Right? Okay, we're running ahead here. But I really appreciate it. You're thinking. Your wheels are going around here. So I appreciate that very much. We are proving what is acceptable to God. I just want to say some very blanket statements that are very obvious, but I want to pound on them. Music must be in line, godly music must be in line with the character of God. Amen?
Amen.
It must be. Okay. We need to establish that. We all agree that ungodly music is not in character with God. Godly music is in line with His holy character. So we established that point. Now, God hates ungodly music. We all know that. Devilish, demonic music God despises. He's holy. He can't look on that. It is anti. It is blasphemous to him. It's terrible to him. He can't look on it. And that has no part in the life of a Christian. Amen. Ungodly music, are we agreed, is totally out for the Christian because it's not part of his character. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are called to be holy men. We cannot take junk into our minds and get away with it without becoming trash and garbage and being affected by it. It will affect us. Amen. So ungodly music is out. We agree on that. Hypocritical music. Now it's coming a little closer. Okay, hypocritical music. God hates hypocrisy. He hates when we pretend we are someone and are not. When singing groups, when whoever it is, whatever group, here at church, God despises hypocrisy. Jesus had a very sharp word for hypocrites. People pretending to be holy, living holy lives and singing God's music that God hates. Ephesians 5, 3 to 12. I won't turn there. And in Amos, the book of Amos, Amos 5, 21 to 24, God talks about hypocrisy. These people were professing God with their lips. They were doing all the sacrifices. They were doing all the rituals, but their heart was far from God, and God hated that. So now apply that to your music. The music groups that you listen to, does that apply? Are we all agreed that hypocrisy, hypocritical music, is God detests it? Amen? Amen. So we agree on that. Now, God also hates mixed music, where we take an element of truth and an element of lie and put it together and mix it up. And I think that's really, I'm going to be blunt here, mostly, I'm not going to make a blanket statement, but yeah, pretty strong, that a lot of the Christian contemporary music today is mixed music. They're taking elements of Satan's music, an element of truth, and putting it together and trying to minister. Are you with me?
Amen.
That's mixed music. Does God like mixed music? He hates mixed music. He despises it. So we are concluding that all music must be in line with the character of God. All godly music is in line with His holy character. It must be for real. It must be genuine. Not hypocritical. And it needs to be truth. Worship and truth always go hand in hand. You cannot have worship without truth. Okay. They always go hand in hand. Jesus said, He was talking to the woman at the well, and He said, they that worship Me must what? Worship in spirit and in truth. So you have the two, not this mixed thing. Okay, now that simplifies it, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like I'm really simplifying things. And it is a lot. It's complicated. And yet, it isn't. I think if we're honest, is it logical? Is it logical for a Christian to take that which God hates and mix it with what God loves? It is simply not logical. Come on. You can't do it. It doesn't mix. It's like water and oil. It doesn't mix. You can't make it happen. It will not happen. And please God. Any questions? Good question. The question is, how do we know? We have a certain group, recording of a group. how do we know if they're hypocritical or not? I'm not suggesting that we find out what every group believes and, you know, their personal lives. I really am not suggesting that. However, if you do know that those people in that group are not according to the ways of God, then you need to get rid of it. But if that group is applying godly principles in their music, you know, I think, you know, that's kind of where I draw the line. I don't know, maybe that's not right. But whenever I hear a group, I can soon discern the spirit of the group, what it sounds like, you know, maybe what they're all about, the type of songs they sing, the lyrics, and so forth. You can pretty well determine the spirit of the group. Now, if I know specifically that that group is so-and-so, and they're really bad, and they're hypocrites, and they're just out for the entertainment and to make the money, yeah, I will, even though their music is good, I'll get rid of it. One example is the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. In the past, I've had their recordings. They sing beautifully. They're Mormons, though. But they do apply right principles. And their recordings are a cappella, and they're beautiful. I love choir music. But because I know something about the Mormons, I can't listen to their music. See? Yes, Steve.
Sometimes the photo on the front will give you a large picture.
Right. Amen. We'll get into that a little later. Yep. Just look at the picture on the CD or whatever. I'll give you an insight. Yes.
Going back to the kind of the cultural understanding and perspective,
mm-hmm.
You're saying if someone lives a life that's different, that's hypocritical to what they're singing, then that would be bad. But the first song that you quoted was Martin Luther, who was anti-Semitic, who had major theological problems.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even agree with himself from one point to another, from one decade to another. So why wouldn't he be considered hypocritical?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I haven't thought of that. Should we throw out a mighty fortress? I don't think so. We're not listening to him sing it. I think there is a little difference there. It's a different error. Yes, Raymond.
I believe, to add to that, that someone perhaps, and I'm not pointing to Martin Luther necessarily, but someone might have gotten saved and been regenerated, and maybe he was gifted in music and was writing hymns instead of his past worldly music about whatever he mentioned, and maybe falling back. But that doesn't condemn the inspiration of music.
Mm-hmm.
If it was Christian. Sure, Martin Luther persecuted, he was with Zurich when Zurich Zwingli, when he persecuted the Anabaptists.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just let that out for food for thought, okay? I'll close it at that. But to be consistent, I'll be honest with you, to be consistent with what I just said, yeah, you're right. Okay. But I still am a firm believer that, yeah, if you know something bad about the group that you have a tape of and you know they're wicked, how does God feel? Let's look at it through the eyes of God now. How would God feel that we are supporting this group who is known to be whatever, just entertainers? And I've known people, in my youth, I was involved in Christian contemporary music very heavily. I went to their concerts, one or two. My mother did not want me to go. My parents did not want me to go. I went anyway one time. Anyway, they were strictly entertainers. And that became very apparent. And when I realized that, yeah, I started opening my eyes. These men were not for real. Therefore, I could not listen to them anymore. Among many other reasons, their style of music was terrible. It was bad. It was wicked. They were using elements of devilish style music. Yeah. And so when I found out that they were not men of integrity, they were not Christian, really, from what I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but there was there was a lot of evidence that these men were not living for God, period. They were strictly, and they were interviewed, and they actually admitted that they were in this thing for the money. No way. How would God view that? If I'm buying all their CDs, if I'm their fan, if I go to hear them sing, and they are hypocrites. They're hypocritical. Yes.
I have a question. I'm familiar with the group that I've been to, I guess you call it concert. Yes, but it's online. And I really appreciate the your heart and your spirit. I believe if you have a heart and spirit for God, and the music, the voice of the music, I believe it's going to scripture. But the lyrics or the beat is a lot heavier than I'm comfortable about.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about music like that?
Okay, the fact that they're sincere doesn't make them right, or, you know, doesn't make it right. The Muslims are sincere. The Mormons are sincere. There's a lot of sincere people around that are doing wrong things. I'll just let it at that. Okay. Let's see. In the back, yes.
You said that worship and truth always fit together. I believe true worship of God and truth always fit together. There's a lot of modern worship happening today.
I should have clarified that. Yeah. Amen.
So, but you can determine a lot of that by that there is not truth and that type of worship.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I should have clarified myself there. Yes, over here.
About the book in the Old Testament called the Book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite understand why it is that we don't sing those psalms. I know that one of our founding fathers put every one of them in music. It's in the King James Version. I guess my concern as a song leader is that we have lots of music that people write and sell, but we don't sell our Bible. We sell it as accomplishment, but there's no... I mean, it was offered by God. The songs were offered by the Holy Spirit by God, so we're pretty graphic in that. And I guess I'm confused and somewhat frustrated as to why we don't.
Okay, well, good point there. The Bible does say we are to admonish one another in psalms, or we're to sing with grace in our hearts in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that is scriptural. Yeah, it's a good question. I'll let you all discuss that at your dinner table. Yes?
I was just thinking a lot of music has the heat, the emotions, rather than really filling the person up. And so I was just thinking, like, with one fellow there asked, or about Martin Luther's song, whether the writer, the author of the song, was right to standing with God or not. I'm not here to judge that. But I wonder, there's a lot of music you will never be able to know the origin of the person writing. But we could ask ourselves the question, does it edify us? Does it admonish us?
Mm-hmm.
Does it teach us?
Mm-hmm.
And does it build us up in the spiritual faith?
Amen. Amen.
So,
good. Very good. Okay, one more.
With the question of if God hates the hypocrisy of the hypocrites, touching a little closer home, what about when there is a song with truth that we're singing to Him and our lives aren't right before God?
Mm-hmm.
What about the ones in the pew that are just singing that album?
I think it would certainly apply there too, wouldn't it? Yeah. If we're sitting in the pew and our hearts aren't right with God and we're saying, it is well with my soul, and it's not, well, you be the judge. Yeah, amen. So God does really care about the music tastes and my preferences. We're living on this earth, then, as representatives of God. We are ambassadors of His kingdom, so we need to be the music that we uphold and sing and listen to and promote. We certainly need to be in line with the kingdom we're representing. Amen. The Bible teaches us diligently to avoid diligently the preferences and styles that would be associated with evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil, the Bible says. And I think we can can we apply that to music? Amen. I think we can. I think we can apply that verse. Abstain from all appearance. That means forms. Forms of evil. And there's certainly, we all concluded that there are forms of evil music. And we need to abstain from them. We need to flee from them. No part of our lives. We are to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. You know, like I mentioned before, there's a war going on. There is a war. Satan has strategies. Satan is trickery. And he's trying to deceive the people. He's trying to deceive you and I. So we need to abstain from those things that are out of character with God. Let's talk a little bit about, and it was brought up here, is music. Now, when I say music this time, we're talking about music. I'm talking just about, let's say, instrumental music. You know, accompaniment. Organ music, rock music, just sounds from an instrument. Is that immoral? Immoral means, let me explain. So I'm asking the question, is music immoral? That word means not to be judged by criteria of morality. Without moral sense or principles. Incapable of distinguishing between right and wrong. Now, is music immoral? Why not?
It affects your spirit.
Okay, music, yes. Excuse me?
God created all things and saw that they were good.
Yeah.
Okay, so all music we're saying is neutral. Oh, okay. All music, okay. Any other discussion? Is music immoral? Is it neutral? Or is it? Are we able to decide between good and bad within that music? You know what I'm asking?
Inspirational or degrading?
Okay. Brother said music is inspirational or degrading. Now, that might depend on your background. You say, well, that's inspirational, and it could be godly. It could be worldly music. Anyway, I'm not trying to catch you there, but I know what you mean. Every sound is significant. It means something. Amen.
Is your question, you're talking about instruments.
I'm not talking about any lyrics at all. I'm not talking about any words. I'm just strictly talking about instruments now. Can we decide just by hearing that, is that that's Satan's music? Well, that's God's music. Well, let me give you a few illustrations to get us thinking. Now, the alphabet, 26 letters, is the alphabet immoral? Yes, there's nothing right or wrong. There's nothing godly or ungodly about the alphabet, right? Now, if I take a couple of those letters, pick them out, and arrange those letters into words, I do that now. Now what's happening? Is it immoral or not? Yeah, now it becomes, I can write good words. Or I can write words that are obscene. I can write wicked words. It doesn't make the alphabet right or wrong. But when I start, as a human being, start to arrange the alphabet and make words and sentences and thought, now it becomes a moral issue. Okay? Are you with me? Let me give you another example. You have a Legos. You have Legos here, you know, the children play with. Now, there they are laying there. They are like building blocks. Now, let me apply that to God and to music. God gives us the building blocks. Melody is of God. Make the melody. Harmony is of God. God designed harmony. Two sounding tones, two or three or four or eight, whatever, sounded at the same time on different pitches can sound beautiful. That's awesome. That's God. Rhythm is of God. Okay? But my point is, God gives us the building blocks. Man does the building. And then it becomes an expression of that man. Then it becomes an expression of right or wrong. Okay?
While you're dancing around there, though, is the different cultural issues. I mean, what sounds right to a European white guy is going to not be necessarily pure or uplifting in spirit to someone who's always from China, that has a different syncopation to the rhythm, that has, you know, or Africa.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that appeal a little later, okay? We'll talk about the appeal of music later, okay? All I'm saying now is that God designed the music. He gives us the building blocks. Man does the building. Man creates a song. Man composes. And now, it's no longer, we can't put the blame on God. And we can't say that all music is godly because God created music. And believe me, that is the slogan of the Christian contemporary music. Let me read. This book is titled Why I Left the Christian Contemporary Music Movement. It's for sale back on the table. Brother Denny has it for sale. This is the Christian Rocker's Creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all music was created equal, that no instrument nor style of music is in itself evil, that the diversity of musical expression which flows forth from man is but one evidence of the boundless creativity of our Heavenly Father. That's false, folks. That's false. God did not create the music. He gave the building blocks. He only gives the building blocks. But this man creates the music, and therefore it becomes a moral issue. It's either right or wrong. Yes?
I think one of the issues in the quote is that it speaks of itself or inherently evil. And I think that the reason some forms of music we would agree are evil is by virtue of how they've been used and their association.
Mm-hmm.
And so that no thing is evil of itself, but how you use the thing is where the evil comes from.
Right.
So an inanimate thing or an instrument or whatever, I mean, I think that the truth that makes that propaganda powerful is that until you put that evil spirit into it or associate with that evil thing, then it is in fact inherently not evil because it was created as the other things are that have the spirit in them. So it's the use of the thing or its perversion that makes it evil.
Right. Let me give you another example. I could say, I love you, to my wife. I love you. Or I could say, I love you. Now, I said the same thing, but I didn't say the same thing. It's the way I said it. Music has the same, exact same power to do it. It's not saying the same thing. When it comes out of the rock culture, it's not saying the same thing. It's not the same Jesus. Believe me. It's not the same Jesus. Like was mentioned here, and I like the idea. Music, I think, can be guilty by association. Music is either guilty or not guilty by association. At least, yeah, I think I can say that. Rock music, I think, is guilty by association. Isn't it interesting? Why did the drug and sex culture always use rock music? Why don't they use nice, soft organ music, flowing, peaceful? Why? Why did he always choose rock?
The voice of rebellion in your spirit.
Amen. There's a spirit in that whole thing. I don't understand it. I probably have more questions than answers in that. But I know one thing. Rock music is Satan's music. Okay, we had that beat. And I want to tell you more why I believe that then. I want to explain that more about its appeal. We want to talk about its appeal. Are we convinced, brothers, that music is not neutral? And that we can decide if that music is right or wrong by its association and so forth. Because it becomes right or wrong when men start tampering with the building blocks and start building things out of it. Let me conclude that. Music definitely has a dimension that it's associated with whatever, good or bad. Music is a language . Let me read another quote yet about the neutrality or not neutrality of music. This is the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. I reject the idea that music styles can be judged as either good or bad. Who decides this? The kind of music you like is determined by your background and culture. That sounds like relativism to me. So if you live in the jungles of Africa and it's bum 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 bum, that's okay. Music is nothing more than an arrangement of notes and rhythms. It's the words that make a song spiritual. That's what I used to believe. There is no such thing as Christian music, only Christian lyrics. If I were to play a tune for you without words, you wouldn't know if it was a Christian song or not. And that comes from the pastor. That is dead wrong. That is dead wrong. I'm sorry. That is wrong. It does really grieve me. It really does grieve me. In the back.
A lot of those same people will use the criticism. Well, a lot of the terms that we're using now came from and were in the background. Can you please make it address that if you have you counted something like that? If you say a lot of the current hymns that are in our hymn book at one time were worldly hymns. So, they use that as justification for their hymns now. How do you combat something like that? How do you count that?
Good question. I don't know. I have to think about that. But definitely, let's say a hymn tune that was used 400 years ago no longer has that association. And that tune is applying right Bible principle.
So it's time, not style.
Oh, it's both. It's both. Yeah. I will add, in addition, here again, I'm going to just say it. May I just say it? A lot of the Christian contemporary music, the lyrics to their songs, the lifestyle that the performers live, falls short of the holiness of God. It really does. They are changing. Yes, Steve.
Society has degenerated over 400 years to the point where the contemporary music of society today is much more ungodly than the contemporary music of society 400 years ago.
Amen.
The society itself has so degenerated. That's the world we live in today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no comparison. Yeah, there's no comparison to the tune of a hymn to what we're facing today. There's no comparison. Okay, let's move on. We could talk for hours, and it's very interesting. I appreciate all the discussion. It makes us all think. But we need to test music by its appeal, okay? We can judge music by how it appeals to human beings. I don't know if this is all. Let me explain. God created you and I, a three-part being. I mean, we're the whole being, but we are spirit. Now, what is our spirit? Okay, that's the soul. Okay, the soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, how we think, our feelings. We laugh, we feel pain, we cry, we whatever. That is our soul. Our spirit is that which God gave you and I to worship Him. And I think it's our conscience also, is it? I think that's right theology. That our spirit is our conscience. I believe every human being, I would be safe to say this, that every human being born in this world has some kind of a knowledge that there is some superior being. There is some super God somewhere. That is the Spirit of God telling him that. It's that which we use to worship God. When we worship, our spirit rises, like a brother was saying, and meets God's spirit, and we worship with our spirit. We worship in spirit and in truth. We also worship with our feelings also. It affects our feelings, our emotions. So we worship God with our spirit, with our emotions, with our feeling, our being. And we worship God with our bodies. We use our bodies to worship. We use our tongue, our voice, or, you know, and we feel the rhythm. We tap, you know, lift your glad voice. You know, we're tapping, you know, on a song. That is natural. That is good. That is right. God made us rhythmic beings. And now, God also made music with those three dimensions, melody, harmony, and rhythm. And I don't know, this might break down, but anyway, the melody appeals, and the lyrics I'll add there, melody appeals to our spirit. Okay, it makes our spirit rise in worship. Okay, the harmony appeals to our soul. It sounds nice, and that's good. Music is to sound nice. We don't make apologies for sounding beautiful harmony. God designed harmony. It's that appeals. And it affects what we sing about. When we sing about joy and what the Lord has done for us, it affects our souls. It affects our will, our mind, our emotions. And also affects our body. God's music. Let's talk about God's music now. How that relates to our bodies. God's music, first of all, appeals. First of all, appeals to the spirit. It should, our spirit, in worship. Okay. That is number one. When we sing, our music should always appeal first and foremost to our spirits. Secondly, it appeals to our souls. Secondly, okay, the harmony is there. We enjoy the harmony. We enjoy the feeling of joy and peace and security that we sense when we worship, when we sing. It affects us. And then it lastly appeals to my body. Okay, I feel the rhythm in my body. You know, I feel that. And that's right and that's good. That's God's music. I think that is the order of appeal. Now we're testing God's music here. We're testing music. We're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, Satan's music is totally reversed. It is a tremendous appeal to the body. Tremendous appeal to the body. Number one, the volume at which rock music is played is how many decibels? It's 140 or I don't even know what that is. It's exceedingly loud. I think like a truck roaring by here would be like 100 or 110, 140 decibels at these rock concerts. The volume, the rhythm, tremendous appeal to the body. Tremendous appeal. It appeals to you. Gets your heart rate going. It shuts down your digestive system. It does, I don't know what all it does to you. But this is proven, okay, that this has a tremendous appeal to the body. And it appeals to the soul, very soulish, sensuality, feelings. And then it doesn't appeal at all to the spirit. The spirit is dead. Now, and that is the order. That is the problem with Satan's music. It has it totally reversed. Totally reversed. Any questions on that? And we need to all be very honest in that. We need to all ask ourselves the question, what appeal does my music have on me? What, how is it affecting me? Is it my, first of all, is it my soul or maybe my body? Or is it my spirit? And I can't answer that for you. But, we must all answer that ourselves. Yes.
Just to affirm what you're saying, Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, mm-hmm. but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we see in Scripture that the Bible as a whole is one of the contrasts, not one of similarities. In Romans 5, it talks about the first Adam, all men died. By the second Adam, all men were made alive. The first Adam was a soul man.
Mm-hmm.
The second Adam was a spirit man, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Cain was led by his soul. Abel was led by his spirit. He offered a sacrifice that was pleasing unto God. And Satan operates and does his damage in the sensory realm. When you read Romans 6, you'll see the term flesh and carnal is the same Greek word. it's the corrupted human nature. And so that's where the devil does his great exploit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He operates on the basis of our five senses. God always appeals to us on the basis of the spirit, the eternal and moral spirit, that he intends to be living for him and glorifying and honoring him. That's why, you know, when I go to the jail, I ask guys sometimes, hey, when was the last time you saw a beer commercial where all the guys were fat and bald and all the women were really ugly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see that. Satan always presents a beautiful depiction. If you use this product, you're going to be surrounded by beautiful women and skiing and health and so on and so forth. That's the whole basis for the marketing industry, is to appeal to the carnal, depraved nature. But the man of God, we're speaking of Martin Luther, the words that began the Reformation was Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. A godly man is to live by faith.
Amen.
In the spirit of the Most High God, and to put the old man to death. And that's what a friend of mine says, he won't go to such and such a restaurant because it gives him sexual urges. He mm-hmm. hears that 50s music. Mm-hmm. And there's truth in that.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
This music make you want to worship God.
Amen.
Jesus,
preach it.
Or does it bring passions from your carnal man mm-hmm. that was supposed mm-hmm. to die?
Amen.
In Romans 12?
That's it. Very true. Thank you. Thank you. We have a few minutes here yet. Just let me make one more point here. We test music by the lives of the artists. We kind of mentioned that, alluded to that, and that's important. By their appearance, was suggested, by their lifestyle, by their dress or undress, and even by the name of the groups. Now, I have here a flyer that came in my mail. It's about a year old. And it's the it's an advertisement of the Alive 05. It's a Christian music festival, okay? These are the groups. I wish I could show you the pictures of the groups. I just want you, and it has all the different groups here. A little description of all the Christian contemporary. This is Christian now. Christian contemporary groups. Blindside, that's the name of their group. Sonically, twisting, tantalizing, that is the best way to describe Stockholm. Sweden's Blindside, though it is not as heavy a record as their previous, about a burning fire, their new record is a mix of hardcore, punk, metal, pop, and traditional Swedish music that creates a unique blend of rock. Their energetic show has gained them tens of thousands of fans across the country. Welcome, Blindside. Another group here, Audio Adrenaline. Christian groups. Christian groups, a huge Alive festival favorite. Audio A has sold more than 2 million units, recorded 15 number one radio singles, garnered several Dove Awards and 3 Grammy nominations. Their newest release, Lift, is their 6th audio project, and it offers a cohesive mix of aggressive guitar, pop, and rock. Their energetic and entertaining stage show doesn't water down the message of Jesus Christ. Oh, just Switchfoot, that's another name. Cutlass, Building 429, 363, these are names of the groups. Third Day. Let me read another one. Super Chick, girls. Super Chick is one of the hottest bands on the rise, with hit songs like Barlow Girls and One Girl Revolution. This is Christian. Their music is everywhere. From an ad campaign to JCPenney to the end credits of the Reese Witherspoon smash. Legally Blonde 2, as well as its predecessors, they will quickly tell you Super Chick is also a movement because a Super Chick is someone who finds his or her God-given identity, not in the latest trends thrown out by society and the media. Day of Fire, that's another one. Supersonic Union. I mean, it's sickening. It is right down sickening. These are Christian groups. And people are flocking to these. And this is poisoning our society. It's poisoning the churches. I know I'm making strong statements here, but folks, it's true. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We need to be aware of this. This is what's happening to the churches. This is what's happening to youth groups. This is what's influencing them. And I'm saying it's not of God. It is wrong music. It is Satan's music. I don't want to judge. I mean, I'm not going to judge of it. Believe me, it doesn't sound right. And look at the pictures. And it's interesting. I understand you can go to a Christian bookstore, and if you like this certain secular group, rock group, like David Matthews Band or whoever, I don't even know what they sound like. But you can find this band here, a secular band, and okay, I know I like them, but my conscience does bother me. So I will pick a Christian group that sounds like the David Matthews Band. So I can go and over here, and I can get this X group here, and they sound like David Matthews Band, but they Christianize things. Does that make sense? I tell you, it is not. It is sad. It is very sad. I'm very grieved. So where do we go from here, men? I hope I've stirred you. I hope we're developing conviction in these areas. We're realizing that, yeah, this is out there, and I really need to prove what is acceptable in the sight of God. We can't afford to be asleep in this area, men. We cannot afford it. We need to be honest with God. Bring this thing before the Lord. And then lead our families, lead our wives, lead our teenagers in this area. Watch over them and be a godly influence. And tomorrow we want to talk about the positive. I think I was a negative today. But we want to talk about positive. We want to learn how to do this. We want to talk about the rudiments so you're able to take this to your families and help them to sing and use singing as a ministry and so forth. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So God richly bless you as you seek to honor Him in your music.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.